Chris, I forgot to ask you the other day. We were on the phone together. Where are you? You're on the road, I know.
West Shrine practices this week and then the Senior Bowl next week. So the All-Star draft prospect All-Star game circuit is kind of what I'm normally do this time of year. So in St. Petersburg this week and Mobile next week.
Oh, gotcha.
Next week, excuse me.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, a lot of things I'm sure the audience wants to hear from you. Let's begin with Jalen Hurts. It's announced he's transferring to Oklahoma. They've kind of had the magic wand up there, Lincoln Riley. Talk about what Lincoln Riley can do with Jalen Hurts. His passing prowess has been a question. What can they do together there to make that right?
Well, the reason why I think it's such a really good move for Jalen is that if you look at what Lincoln did from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray, those two are completely different quarterbacks in that they had immeasurable success with both of them. So whatever Jalen has in his arsenal, and it's different than those other two, he's not as good a passer as Baker, and he's a different style of athlete and passer than Murray. Whatever he has in him, I'm very comfortable in saying Lincoln Riley is going to get out of him. Now, I don't think that it's as good. He will be as effective because I don't think he's as talented athletically as Murray. And Murray can fling it. He's got a very quick release. He doesn't anticipate or throw it as well as Baker Mayfield. But both of those guys were a little different. So I think we'll see a little bit of a different approach in terms of how they kind of tailor what they do with it. But this scheme is so tailor-made for what a guy like Jalen can do in terms of up-tempo, and it creates so much spacing and coverage that, quite frankly, it's very easy to throw the football in it. And, you know, Murray was someone that he didn't anticipate very well. When guys came open, he threw the football, which you can't get away with that in the NFL, but it is something that you can do very effectively in this style of offense. So I would expect that Jalen will improve as a passer. Certainly his numbers will, and you see the element of being able to run the football with a little bit more power, less athletic quickness than Kyler Murray. But I'm excited for him. I think he'll have success. I don't think it's going to be like Heisman Trophy level success, that type, but I think he'll be very, very successful.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Since we last talked last Thursday, Kyler Murray has declared for the NFL. So you're on the road, you're always scouting, you're always talking to coaches. What's the thinking about where, and obviously we don't know what team, but where he'll be taken? Is it for sure that it's the first round? Because that's the gamble he's making here.
Well, I said last week, you know, and I've said this, and some people are starting to pick this up now. I felt all along this is a negotiating ploy by Murray and his agent, Scott Boras, his baseball agent. You know, he wants to get as much as he can out of the A situation, and if they don't come with a really good offer that he's comfortable with, he has the football option to go to, and he can play that as long as he wants to, because, you know, he can get drafted and play and then decide he wants to go play baseball later. He can do that. So he has the leverage that others are not afforded. As a football player, a lot of people in the league haven't really studied him enough. I probably have more, and certainly with the teams that I'm involved with, I don't like him as much as other people do as a pro prospect. He is short, and that will be a factor. He is short, like he's 5'9 short, and he's not a great passer. He's a great passer in college. That's a big difference. He can throw the football, but he's more of a thrower than a passer. I think he's going to have a lot of adjustment to make to the pro style in terms of being able to make plays in the pocket and being able to anticipate. He doesn't anticipate very well. Now, do I think he can make it as a quarterback in the NFL? Yes, I do. Do I like him enough to take him really high in the first round? I do not. Some may. Would I consider taking him as long as baseball is on the table? I wouldn't even consider it until the later rounds just to have his rights, because I'm not going to take a guy unless I know with certainty that he's going to play football, and certainly at the quarterback position. Because there's none of this, he's going to play baseball part-time and play football. You cannot do that and play quarterback in the NFL. That is no chance. It's completely off the table. So, and again, the risk there, he can tell you all he wants, unless he's willing to sign a waiver that's going to give his entire money back if he goes back to baseball, there's just no reason to not, it's not trusting him, but he always has that option to go back to baseball, which would make me very leery to go down that path with Tyler.
Chris Landry with us Thursdays in this slot, LandryFootball.com. A lot of other topics. Let's revisit something. Alabama and Nick Saban. Nick's a guy that you knew up in Cleveland. You've known him probably longer than many people out there. Sounds like Tosh Lupoy now is leaving. And I do think that was in the works, Cleveland. And that means this almost this entire staff's going to be gutted off a 14-1 team and a team that was record levels of good offensively. What's Nick thinking here?
Well, you know, here's the thing about the offense, and this is my view. It may be in the minority. You know, I think fans got really caught up into the high-flying offense.
Right.
Personally, I think that they lost a little bit of their identity. I thought, you know, what people have to understand is that once you become up-tempo, high-flying offense, score a lot, you put your defense on the field for more snaps, and you put your defense on the field with shorter interviews between intervals between series, you're not going to be as good defensively. And I thought they lost a little bit of their physicality, and I think that, you know, people don't pay attention to it until you lose a game. But the vulnerability was there all year. There just wasn't anybody good enough to beat them. Georgia was capable but couldn't do it. And Clemson did. I mean, you know, it is nothing against what they did, because, again, people look at it as, well, they scored a bunch of points. To me, it's the really great teams can run the four-minute offense well and score, go on 4, 5, 6, 7-minute drives and compress the game and keep your defense fresh. And to me, that's dominant football, and that's what Alabama is best at. And I think that when you get into a little bit of an up-tempo and high-scoring offense and your defense becomes a little vulnerable, then you, I think, become vulnerable at the highest level, which is, you know, listen, had Clemson not been as good, Alabama would have probably won it again this past year. The year before, you know, let's remind folks that while Tua didn't start the game, and you shouldn't have expect the dynamics that resulted in him winning the game, let's remind folks that he threw a lot of bad passes and made a lot of mistakes in that game. Georgia dropped two interceptions in the second half, or else we're talking about perhaps Alabama losing twice in the championship game. My point is the offense to me was good because Tua and the playmakers made it look good. I never felt that Mike Locksley was a good fit for Nick. That was one that had success in terms of points, but I never thought that was a great fit personally. Now, it worked out a lot better because they can overcome it with talent. So, and obviously Mike left for the right reason to go to be a head coach. Dan Enos, I thought, had some merit as a play caller, but Nick felt like he wasn't ready for that. And Nick made some decisions last year based on recruiting. Josh Gattis, bringing him in. Certainly Mike was a really good recruiter because of the fact they didn't have as successful recruiting class the year before. Really good, but not the best in the country. So therefore he reacted to that. Personally, I think he overreacted. And I don't think from a technical and a play calling and a game planning standpoint, they were as good. And Nick didn't either. That's on offense and on defense. Thijs Lapoy, not really ready to be a play caller, but wanted to keep him as a recruiter, and so he did. I think this is a great move for Thijs to go to Cleveland with the Browns because he can learn a little bit more about on-the-field coaching, because in the NFL, you have to really be a superior coach because the talent level is more evenly dispersed. I don't know that it's a great fit for the Browns, but it's great for Thijs to learn that, because that's where he's a little bit lacking, or a little bit green. It's not that he's lacking in ability, he just doesn't have the experience. So in short, Nick is trying to get guys that he's a little bit more comfortable with, that he's had experience with, and that are a little bit better in the development side, and hopefully not sacrifice some recruiting elements. But most of the move, like Gattis, was not going to be – certainly he wasn't going to promote him to be the coordinator. And he wasn't, as I mentioned, as comfortable as maybe I might have been with Dan Enos as the play caller. So, you know, it makes sense that Dan is going to go to Miami and he can be the coordinator for a guy that is a defensive head coach. It's that he can have, you know, everything that he wants. And anybody that knows how the Nick Saban situation works is guys want to go there and work, get it on their resume. But quite frankly, they want to get out of there as quickly as they can and get the best job that they can, because it's more of a meat grinder than most places. So it's not exactly the love boat over there. So it's one of those cases where you've got to take advantage of it. Now, I will say this. He's working on a move defensively that I've been after him for a while to make a move, and we'll see if he can pull it off. I'm not sure if he can convince the guy to come. I can't say too much at this point, but there is a tremendous hire, off the charts good hire on the defensive side. I think it's going to be tough for him to pull it off personally, but we'll see. I don't mean to be so cryptic, but I don't want to mess things up or you know, get in any trouble there. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, we'll find out soon enough. And if it doesn't work, I'll be glad to share, you know, the details of it in another week or two. But this is probably the toughest stretch for him, as he's had to replace a lot of coaches last year. But, you know, let's see how it plays out. I think that the offensive side, people say, oh, nothing was a wrong with it. It's not anything was wrong with – nothing was wrong with the offense other than the fact that they won because the quarterback with really good pass protection could extend plays and they could play a little, you know, schoolyard football with those receivers getting open. But in terms of the ability to see defenses and to adjust to post-snap reads, that's not something that Tua really progressed with all year long, and it caught him in the championship game. You know, other teams couldn't take advantage of it. Clemson did. So it's not a reaction just to the Clemson game, but it's a reaction of they got away with some things that I think he felt like he needs to get better with. And by the way, if Tua's going to be the type of pro player that some people are hoping he can be, he's going to have to become a lot better at seeing the defense, because everything he does is pre-snap read and run RPOs, which is, quite frankly, not very difficult. And you can get a lot of people to teach that. And I think a lot of the credit with the explosive offense had to do with, you know, maybe it went to some of the coaching. And I don't think they did a poor job at all, but I think they could do a lot better in terms of how they go about playing what I call complementary football. And that's the key. I don't think 50 points is necessarily good offense. I think good offense is, you know, maybe 30 points in controlling the game with ball control and finishing sustained drives with 7 points, as opposed to going up and down the field, where even in the Oklahoma game, Bill, in the playoffs, they had a big cushion. But there was a stretch there where if they didn't have an 11- or 18-point cushion, they were going to get in a shootout game with Oklahoma. And they didn't have that cushion against Clemson. And that, to me, is the difference. And that, to me, is what they need to get away from, because I think that makes them a little bit more vulnerable. And if you're Alabama, there's no reason to be vulnerable to anybody, because you can recruit the best players, and you've got to be able to get back to being dominant at the line of scrimmage and dominant physically, which I thought they lost a little bit of their way this year. And here I am talking about, you know, a team that you think maybe lost four games this year. It's not the case, of course, but, you know, you've got to be able to see through those things even when you win. And I think Nick has, and the one thing that people might not understand about the guy is that while he's hard-nosed and maybe tough to be around, the guy is not stubborn. The guy is willing to change. In fact, as I've kind of alluded to in this conversation, he probably changed a little bit too much the other way in overreacting to the recruiting. So he's trying to find that right combination, and we'll see how it plays out.
Chris, do you have a second or two on the other side? A couple other questions for you?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I'll let you know.
Arena of Ideas is now open for your telephonic interactions. 888-702-5494. The Bill King Show.
Omni will be right over there in that area at the Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow morning, 7 until 9. Charlie has the first hour. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Couple things, Chris, and we'll let you get on with it. Josh Gattis being handed the coordinator job by Michigan. Now, that's not something he's done. He hadn't been a play caller, and Harbaugh's handing him, according to what we see now, the play calling duties too. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Josh is a bright coach, as I mentioned, and this is kind of going back to the prior to the break, is not something that Nick was comfortable with. I don't want to say Josh is not ready. I don't think that he was ready in the Alabama situation. In the Michigan situation, might be a little different in this regard. There's pressure to win at Michigan. At Alabama, you know, you got to win the national championship every year. It's tough. With Michigan, the one thing I think Josh might be able to do is help a little bit in the passing game, much needed help that they at Michigan. Now, how much is he going to be allowed to do, and give them full control, and how long does that play out, and do they have the personnel to do some of the things that he would like to do? And as you mentioned, in a play-calling situation, you'd normally like to have a little bit of more experience there. However, I think he brings some fresh ideas, which is a good thing. So it's a great opportunity for him. It's pressure, but for goodness sakes, that offense hasn't been very well constructed for some time. He's playing a little bit with house money there. I mean, I think there's – I don't want to say that you can only go up, because I don't care where you are. It can always get worse. It can always get better. But I think that there's a greater margin of improvement there than there is decline, since that offense has been such poorly developed, I think, particularly as relates to the passing game for the past few years.
Peter, big Syracuse fan, wants to know if you have any information on their receiver, Jamal Custis, and also Chris Slayton, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, Custis has really done I've spent a lot of time with him. He's, you know, he's a big guy, 6'5"-ish and 220. And I think the guys have a really good chance. He's got good hands, and, you know, he's got pretty good catching, really good catching radius. So he's done a nice job here. He's done a really good job. Peter will be happy to know, you know, quick plug here on the Rush the Field podcast every week. We take a state of the program when we kind of go back into the history of a college program and take it to where it is. And up on the website right now was Syracuse. So we kind of take some of the programs, tied the top 15, 20 teams of this past year. So, Peter, make sure you check that out. But, Jamal, both of those guys are doing good, particularly Custis.
Tell everybody how they can get all the information at LandryFootball.com.
By the way, Kyle Phillips is doing some pretty good things too here at the bowl game. I thought you might be interested in that. Ryan Davis, the receiver, slot receiver from Auburn, doing a good job. Anyway, all the practice reports up on LandryFootball.com. You can get that along with anything, along with all the other the Senior Bowl this upcoming week. We'll break down what's going on in practices. We're getting ready to break out our NFL draft boards, free agency. Obviously, breaking down the conference championship games this weekend. And as far as college, what we focus on is a lot in our notebooks every day. We're tracking all this transfer information, the fits and the remaining coaching changes. All of that's taking place in the notebooks every day. And, of course, we'll be, as we go through the process of getting into the second wave of recruiting, we're going to, obviously, in our recruiting notebooks, keep everybody up to date there, and then break down the recruiting classes even further once the final signing day is in the books. And then we begin grading the rosters in college, as well as all our NFL stuff that involved free agency and the draft. So it's one-stop shop in football, folks. If you like football, you love LandryFootball.com. And good news, we've got the holiday special is over, but we've got another special that we think is just as good. It's the postseason savings special that you can take advantage of at LandryFootball.com. So it's postseason. The season's over in college, we know, but the NFL, we're getting towards the end. So we've got a little bit of a window here for you could take advantage of and get an entire year at a very discounted price. So check it out.
Appreciate you, Chris. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Take care.